I would encourage you to get your Bible out and to follow along this morning. I want us to consider how we can overcome the sin of hypocrisy. We have, from time to time, we've been going through and looking at some different sins that trouble God's people. We've not been looking at what we would call the big-time sins, those that seem to get the headlines in the paper and on the television news, but sin is sin, and there are times that I see brethren who are struggling with different kinds of sins, and I've been wanting to look at those, and today we're going to look at the sin of hypocrisy. I came to Mark as he was putting the numbers up on the board, and I said, "Mark, I'm going to preach on hypocrisy this morning. How many songs you got that go along with that?" And after Bible class, he hopped up and he said, "I think I found one." And I think you did. As we go through our study this morning, and we're going to continue this afternoon, indeed, if we would strive to be pure in heart, it would certainly help us to overcome the sin of hypocrisy. When I mention the word hypocrite, how do your ears respond to that word? That word itself conjures up thoughts of disdain and disgust in many people, because we've seen hypocrites and we've interacted with hypocrites. We've had to be around hypocrites and witness their hypocrisy, and it is sickening to the heart and to the soul. William Barclay, a denominational scholar and writer, has said, "In the New Testament, there is no sin more strongly condemned than hypocrisy. And in popular opinion, there is no sin more universally detested." And if he missed the mark, it wasn't by much. I believe this is a good, accurate statement. What is a hypocrite? The word hypocrite, the words hypocrite and hypocrisy, are translated from a family of words that refer to an actor or to one who is playing a part in a play or playing a role. In one resource book, I found this statement: the word hypocrite is based on the Greek theatrical words that mean actor or to play a part. The essential identity of hypocrites, therefore, is that they pretend to be something they are not. It's the idea behind a hypocrite: someone who is putting on a show, someone who is playing a part, someone who is not real. They are pretending to be something that they are not. Now, we could go through and we could look at all these Greek words, and I could put them up on the board, and I could try to pronounce them, and we could look at all the definitions, and I'm not going to belittle that. We're not going to do that, and I wouldn't belittle that kind of a study. Instead, I think we might do well to ask our Lord Jesus Christ, "What is a hypocrite?" and see what His answer is. Because there's an answer in the Bible. You remember the time when Jesus was in the last week of His life and He was in Jerusalem, and some of the Pharisees sent some of their disciples along with the Herodians to Him to test Him by asking Him that question: "Is it lawful to pay taxes unto Caesar or not?" Most of us remember that account. Well, in Luke's account, in Luke chapter 20 and verse 20, we read this: "So they watched Him," that is the Pharisees, "so they watched Him and sent spies who pretended to be righteous, that they might seize on His words in order to deliver Him to the power and the authority of the governor." That's what Luke's account tells us, that these people who are coming before Jesus, they're pretending to be righteous. They're pretending to be interested in the Lord's response to this question. They want to know. Well, in Matthew's account, in Matthew chapter 22 at verse 15, Matthew's account reads this way: "Then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle Him in His talk. And they sent to Him their disciples with the Herodians." Now, let's pause right here. The people who are sent, remember, they're spies. They're pretending to be righteous. What do they do? They're wanting to entrap Him in His words, saying — now we're back to Matthew's account — saying, "Teacher, we know that You are true and teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Look at how they were pretending. They were flattering the Lord. They were laying it on thick. They wanted to know what he had to say about this. The Lord saw through it all, but Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why do you test me, you hypocrites?" So there the Lord tells us what a hypocrite is. I don't need a Greek lexicon. The Lord tells us that a person who is pretending to be something that they are not, they are a hypocrite. The Lord and the Pharisees clashed many, many times. A lot of the times that they did, Jesus called them hypocrites. And so if you could just go through, and we won't take the time to look at every instance and look up every passage, but if you go through and you look at the Pharisees, you get a pretty good idea of what a hypocrite is. And the characteristics of a hypocrite. What does a hypocrite do? How do they act? Well, we know that hypocrites, they want to be patted on the back. They want praise from men, not praise from God. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus goes through a good portion of that chapter saying, when you pray, don't pray out on the street corner for the applause of men. When you give alms, don't do it out in public where everyone will see and will congratulate you. When you fast, don't disfigure your face. Where people will say, oh, how pious you are. Instead, do these things in private. In the book of Matthew chapter 23, verses 5 through 7, but all their works they do to be seen by men, for they make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feast, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplace, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. A hypocrite, then, is somebody that puts on a show because he wants the applause. He wants the credit. He wants praise from men and not necessarily from God. We know that a hypocrite is also one who thinks absolutely nothing of breaking God's law in order to keep his own tradition or in order to do his own thing. In Mark chapter 7, the Pharisees were criticizing the Lord's disciples because they weren't washing their hands according to tradition. And Jesus says to them, calls them hypocrites up in verse 6, and then in verse 8 says, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups and many other such things you do. And he said to them, all too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your traditions. And then he goes on down to cite a specific instance of doing that. We know that a hypocrite will conceal his true motives underneath a cloak of flattery and pretense. And we just saw that in Matthew chapter 22. Lord, you preach the truth. And you do all things in truth. And you don't have any bad motives in your own heart. They were flattering the Lord. We know that a hypocrite does not practice what he preaches. In Matthew chapter 23, and you're going to find us going to Matthew 23 several times in our study today. Matthew 23 and at verse 3, Jesus says, therefore, whatever they, that is the scribes and Pharisees who are hypocrites, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. The way we put that today, they don't practice what they preach. And we know that that is hypocrisy. We know also that the Pharisees, as hypocrites, they majored in the minors. In verse 23, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. When it came time for them to pay their tithes, they got out their scales and they got out their spices and they weighed it out perfectly. One-tenth went to the Lord. And on the way to the temple to give it, if they walked by someone starving to death, they could care less. You see, they majored in the minors. And the Lord says these things you ought to have done, but you also ought to have justice. You also ought to have mercy and righteousness and love. A hypocrite majors in the minors. A hypocrite will hide his evil heart behind a veil of righteousness. He talks in verse 27 about whitewashed tombs. They look good on the outside, but on the inside they're full of death and decay. And says, even so you outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. We know that a hypocrite will persuade others to listen to himself instead of listening to God. Verse 15, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Instead of going out and teaching people about the Lord and about how to be right with the Lord, they went out and taught people how to be Pharisees and won people over to be Pharisees and caused their souls to be lost as well. We know that a hypocrite, having deceived others with his life, because that's what hypocrisy is, it's a living deception, he also deceives himself. In Luke chapter 12 and at verse 56, he says to the Pharisees, hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it you do not discern this time? They were so blind that they couldn't see that their Messiah was standing right in front of them and preaching to them. A hypocrite deceives others so much that he begins to deceive himself. And we could go on and we could look at other passages, but this helps us to get a picture of who a hypocrite is and what a hypocrite is. Now, let's ask the question in the rest of our time this morning, so what? What's the big deal? What's so bad about being a hypocrite? What makes it so bad? Well, number one, hypocrisy is a form of lying. And we know what the Bible says about liars. The whole purpose behind playing the hypocrite is to pretend to be someone we are not, to make others believe something about us that is not true, to deceive them with regard to our character or our motives. Hypocrisy is a form of lying. You could categorize it underneath the sin of lying. In the book of 1 Timothy, at chapter 4 and at verse 2, the Apostle Paul says that false teachers and deceivers will be speaking lies in hypocrisy. They will be hypocrites. They're living a lie, and they will also be speaking the same. How natural it is for one who's living a lie to speak a lie. It just will roll naturally right off of their tongue. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 9, we read that the hypocrite destroys his neighbor with his mouth. Hypocrites tell lies, not just with their words, but also with their lives. And these lies have an adverse effect, have a negative effect upon others, those that they are close to. And I'll tell you, this is exactly what Satan did when he tempted Eve. I'd never thought about this before studying for this lesson this past week. When Satan appeared before Eve in Genesis chapter 3, Satan was playing the hypocrite. He pretended to care about Eve, didn't he? He pretended to care about her and to want what was best for her. Has God said you can't eat any of the fruit of these trees? Eve responded, no, we can eat any tree we want to except this one. We are not to touch it lest we die. And Satan said, oh, he won't die. God doesn't want you eating off that tree because God knows that the minute you do, your eyes are going to be open and you're going to be just like him. God's holding you back. See, Satan appeared to be concerned about her well-being. He wanted what was best for her. But what did he really want? What was his true motive behind it? Jesus says of Satan in John chapter 8, he was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. You go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, he's lying with the intent to destroy Eve and destroy mankind. He played the hypocrite there in Genesis chapter 3, pretending to be something and someone that he was not. Hypocrisy is lying, and God hates lying. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, these six things the Lord hates. Yea, seven of them are an abomination to him. You know, two of the seven things are lying. A lying tongue and a false witness. Lying is mentioned twice in that passage. And liars will be punished. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 5. What's wrong with hypocrisy? Hypocrisy is a lie. We know what the Bible says about liars. We know what God thinks of liars. And we know what's going to happen to liars. They are going to be punished. They're going to be destroyed. So that's what makes hypocrisy so bad. That's why the Lord condemned it so strongly. But there's so much more. Secondly, hypocrisy taints love. Love is the greatest virtue that we can have. because it prompts the greatest good for our fellow man. But when love is born out of hypocrisy, if that hypocrisy is discovered, it destroys all the good that was accomplished. Paul says in Romans chapter 12 and at verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. The love that we show unto others is to be sincere and genuine. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and at verse 5 we read, now the purpose of the commandment is love. Now most people would probably want to stop right there. Well, love, as long as we love, that's all that matters. And the purpose of the commandment of God is for us to act out of love, and that's true, but that's not where it stops. The Holy Spirit didn't put a period there. Let's keep on reading. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. That's three strikes against hypocrisy right there, isn't it? Love from a pure heart, pure in heart. Love from a good conscience, from sincere faith. Hypocrisy destroys love. Love is to be sincere and fervent. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and at verse 22, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, for since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. In chapter 4 and at verse 8, above all things have fervent love for one another. Our motives towards our brethren, towards our family, towards our friend, towards our neighbors, they need to be transparent. We need to be genuine and real in how we deal with people and not slap on a face of love, but it needs to come from a heart that is really and truly expressing that love. And of course, love is more than mere sentiment. Love prompts action. In 1 John chapter 3 and at verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. But when love is shown out of hypocrisy, it destroys all of this. It destroys the good sentiment, it destroys the good feeling, and it destroys the good that is done. And I'll tell you who was a great example of hypocritical love was Judas. Judas was a great example of hypocritical love. In John chapter 12, Judas and the rest of the disciples are with Jesus there at the house of Lazarus in Bethany, and they're eating there. Remember, Mary comes, and she breaks open that flask of costly perfume, and she begins to anoint the feet of Jesus with it. Well, Judas begins to protest that. Judas says in verse 5, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? What about the poor people? And this money could have been used to help those who are poor. Oh, Judas, he loves the poor people. Oh, Judas, he cares about people who are suffering. No, he doesn't. Verse 6, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the money box and he used to take what was put in it. He cared less about the poor. He was lying in his own pockets. He was a hypocrite. He was pretending to love. You know, he also pretended to love the Lord on one occasion, didn't he? He went and he sold out the Lord to the chief priest for 30 pieces of silver. And then that night that he betrayed the Lord, when he gathered up that mob, he told him, he said, listen, it's going to be dark out there. I'll tell you who to arrest. You arrest the one that I kiss. And we all know about the kiss of Judas. And when he came before Jesus there in the garden, Jesus encountered him in Luke chapter 22 and said, have you come to betray the Son of Man with a kiss? Have you come to me to act like my friend and to sell me out? Yes, he came looking like a friend, but in his heart he was ready to sell out the Lord. What's wrong with hypocrisy? Hypocrisy destroys love. It taints love. And love is that greatest of virtues that we are to have and to be known by. I tell you what's worse than that. not only does hypocrisy have an adverse effect upon brethren, it also destroys the cause of Christ, and it harms those outside of the church. Sometimes people criticize the Lord's church by saying, the church is full of hypocrites. I'm sure you've heard that. I've heard it plenty of times. Well, the church is full of hypocrites. And I've got enough responses to that, I could preach my own sermon on this particular subject. Most often, that's an excuse that's given by somebody that has absolutely no interest at all in going to church. But instead of saying, you know what, I'm the bad guy, I don't want to go to church, he's going to try to pawn it off on the church. The church is a bad place, and so I don't want to go there. Well, no, you just don't want to go there. But now, let's look at this from another point of view. When members of the church act like hypocrites, then it can be said that there are hypocrites in the church. That tag fits. It sticks if it's true. In Romans at chapter 2, if you would, turn to Romans at chapter 2. The reality, we might not like to admit it, but the reality is that sometimes Christians do play the hypocrite before unbelievers. And when they do, such actions can have a negative impact and a negative effect upon efforts to spread the gospel to those who were lost. In Romans chapter 2, verses 21 through 24, says, "You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make the boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written." Here's what Paul is doing in the first two chapters of Romans. In Romans chapter 1, Paul is showing how the Gentiles are guilty of sin. And as he is preaching that, you could hear every Jew in the place say, "Amen." Those Gentiles are without God and they're lost. And so when we get to chapter 2, what does Paul do? He turns to the Jews and he says, "You all are just as bad. But we've got the law," the Jew would say. And Paul, as we read, said, "That's right, you've got the law, but you don't keep it. You've got the law, you know it well enough to teach the Gentiles, but you don't keep it." And what's the result? "The name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you." Now we can take that and apply that to our time today. Whenever people in the community see members of the Lord's church, that they know are members of the Lord's church, out in the community acting in sin and living in sin, the name of God is blasphemed because of them. Well, your God ain't much if you're not following what He says. Well, the teachings of the church over there in Norwood must not be that important because you're not keeping them. That's what's thought, and that's what is said. I've encountered people who have used hypocrites in the church as just a lousy excuse, but I've also encountered people that hypocrisy on the part of members of the church actually became a legitimate stumbling block to them in wanting to become a Christian and wanting to follow the gospel. And we know what the Lord said about stumbling blocks, don't we? In Matthew chapter 18, verse 6, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come. But woe to that man by whom the offense comes." Now I know that it's true that every one of us, every one of our neighbors, every one of our co-workers, every one of our classmates, that we're all going to be judged individually by God. And when we stand before the Lord on judgment, we can't say, "Now this person made me do it, and this person did this." No, we're judged individually. But I tell you, this passage tells us very clearly that we can act in such a way to cause someone to stumble and become offended and to sin, and we won't be held guiltless on those accounts. When we go out in the world and we live like we've got one foot in the church and one foot in the world. We are playing the hypocrite. And when people see that and decide they don't want anything to do with the Lord or His church as a result, we're hindering the gospel. We are a stumbling block. We're going to have to answer for that. Now, I'm just going to say this, and I don't have anyone in mind when I'm saying it, because I don't know what's in your heart, and you don't know what's in mine. So this isn't directed at anybody. It's directed at all of us, me included. If we're going out there in the world and living like we're in the world, I just assume you don't tell anybody you're a member of this congregation. Because we've got work to do. We've got work to do. And if you're out there living like that and letting people know that that's all the church here means to you, I just assume you not let them know you're a member here. I'll tell you, a better thing for you to do is to repent and do what's right. We'll talk about that this afternoon. You see, when we play the hypocrite, it has an adverse effect upon the Lord's church. How terrible it would be to discover that our actions actually kept someone from obeying the gospel. Think about that for a minute. Get your mind wrapped around that and what you would be accountable for and how you would have to answer for that. But there's more. What's wrong with hypocrisy? Well, like any other sin, hypocrisy is contagious. Not only does it have a negative influence upon unbelievers, the hypocritical Christian will also have a negative influence upon his brethren. That's exactly what happened when Peter went to Antioch. Remember? In the book of Galatians at chapter 2, Galatians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says now in verse 11, "Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy." Here's what happened. Peter went to join Paul and Barnabas in Antioch, up north of Jerusalem. And when Peter got there, he ate with the Gentile Christians. Peter was a Jewish Christian, but he ate with the Gentile Christians, treated them just like they were everybody else. But when certain Jews came from Jerusalem, then Peter all of a sudden started acting differently. He withdrew himself from the Gentiles because he didn't want to catch flack from these Jewish Christians, Judaizers, who would say, "No, those Gentiles, they have to be circumcised first, and then they can become Christians." And Peter just withdrew himself. And not only did this have a negative effect upon those Gentile Christians who were probably for wondering, "Well, what in the world have I done wrong? That Peter won't eat with me anymore, and he's treating us like this. What have we done wrong?" Not only did it have a negative impact upon them, but the text tells us specifically it had a negative impact upon the other Jewish Christians there, because they all joined with Peter and they all backed away as well. Even Barnabas. You know, this is the only thing in the New Testament about Barnabas that's stated in a negative way. There's a better way I could have put that. This is the only negative thing that's said about Barnabas in the New Testament. And he was following the influence and the example of Peter, who was playing the hypocrite. You see, hypocrisy, just like any other sin, is contagious. Whenever we start acting two-faced, and we start being nice to people in front of their face and then talking about them behind their back, pretty soon, what have we done? Pretty soon, we've called somebody else over to us, and they're doing the same thing, right? They'll be nice and you all act nice when that person is there, but when they walk away, talk about them behind their back. That's contagious. See, hypocrisy, acting like a hypocrite, acting like you're someone that you're not, it's contagious. In the Bible, the word leaven is used to refer to the spreading influence of sin. In the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 5, the Apostle Paul told them they need to cast out the old leaven. That there was leaven in that lump. There was leaven in that church. There was sin in that church, and they needed to get rid of that sin because it was spreading through the church and it was influencing every member in the church. And the sin there, of course, was their toleration of fornication. There was a member there who was committing fornication and they were allowing it. And as long as that attitude was there, it was going to spread until every member there would be affected by it. Oh, that's no big thing. That's no big deal. No, Paul says you need to get rid of that sin. Get rid of that leaven. Well, earlier in Luke chapter 12 and at verse 1, Jesus warned the people of the leaven of the Pharisees. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Beware of the influence of the Pharisees, the negative influence of the Pharisees. It's hypocrisy. You begin looking at the Pharisees, and you begin looking up to the Pharisees, and you begin hanging around the Pharisees. Pretty soon you're going to start acting like the Pharisees. You're going to become hypocrites just like they are. Hypocrisy is a sin against God and a sin against man, and it is contagious. Like any other sin, it is contagious. When we play the hypocrite, we influence other people to play the hypocrite as well. And then finally for this morning, what's wrong with hypocrisy? Well, just like any other sin, it's going to be punished and the sinner is going to be destroyed. The Lord saved his strongest condemnation for the hypocrisy of the scribes and the Pharisees. There's no other group committing no other sin that received such indignation from the Lord as the sin of hypocrisy. Just read through Matthew chapter 23, and you can see Jesus speaking there unlike he does anywhere else in the New Testament, condemning the sin of hypocrisy. Think about Ananias and Sapphira as well. I thought about this week, doing some studying as well. Ananias and Sapphira. This is occurring in Acts chapter 5 at a time when the end of chapter 4 tells us there were a lot of members of the church in Jerusalem who were selling their houses, selling their property, and they were taking the proceeds and they were laying it at the apostles' feet. That is, they were selling their property and they were giving it to the church. Well, Ananias and Sapphira are introduced in chapter 5 verse 1, and they have a possession, they have a piece of land, and they sell it. They pocket some of the money, and they bring the rest of the proceeds to the apostles. Ananias does, the husband does, and he lays it down at the feet of Peter. Remember what Peter does? Immediately he begins to rebuke him. Begins to rebuke him and tell him, you know, what have you done? You've not lied to men, you've lied to God. While that money was yours, while that property is yours, you could have done with it whatever you wanted. And with the proceeds, you could have done anything with it that you wanted to. And what that tells us is that they didn't have to sell their land. They chose to do it. And they didn't have to give it all. They could give whatever they wanted to. But here is what happened. Here's the sin of Ananias and Sapphira. They wanted to look like they were giving it all while they were keeping some of it for themselves. If that's not a hypocrite, I don't know what is. They lie to God, they lie to the Holy Spirit. And remember, hypocrisy is lying. Now what happened to Ananias and Sapphira? They were struck dead immediately. The first time we read of hypocrites in the church, they drop dead. That ought to tell us something about this sin. God had no toleration for it at all. They were acting like they were doing something that they weren't. They wanted credit for giving a full sacrifice when they only gave part, and God struck them dead. That got their attention. You read on in that account in chapter 5, that got their attention, and it ought to get ours as well. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus begins to give some parables about the end of the world, about His return. In Matthew 24 and verse 45, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you, he will make him ruler over all his goods. But If that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him and at an hour when he's not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. Where's that? There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Every time the Lord uses that distinctive phrase, we know He's talking about hell. And notice what He says here in this verse, that's the portion of the hypocrites. That's what the hypocrites get. They get hell fire for all of eternity, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. If that doesn't get our attention, I don't know what will. In Revelation, at chapter 21 and verse 8, we know the fate of all liars. And remember, hypocrisy is a form of lying. Revelation 21 and at verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. That would include the hypocrite. And all liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What's the big deal about hypocrisy? It is a sin that will send one soul to an eternal hell. That's what's wrong with it. I know we could look at other things. This list could be added to. Perhaps it needs to be. But this is suffice for this morning. What is hypocrisy? It's acting like someone you're not, with the intent to deceive someone else into believing something about you that isn't true. What are the characteristics of a hypocrite? Well, look no further than the Pharisees. They were walking examples. What's wrong with hypocrisy? Well, it's a form of lying. It taints true love. It harms the cause of Christ. It is contagious, and hypocrites influence others to be hypocritical. And of course, hypocrisy is a sin that will result in the damnation of eternal hell. If you are a hypocrite this morning, you're in sin. You need to repent. You need to repent and you need to pray God to forgive you and ask your brethren to do the same and make things right. Now, hypocrisy, just like any other sin, can be habit-forming. It can be hard to overcome. And so what I want to do, Lord willing, this afternoon, I want us to take a look at how we can overcome the sin of hypocrisy. So the sermon really isn't over. I encourage you to come back and let's finish it this afternoon. But at this time, we'll take a break from it and we'll extend an invitation. If you are in sin, if you're in the sin of hypocrisy, as we just said, you need to come out of it. You need to repent. If you are not a Christian, if you're not a Christian, if you're not a child of God, I tell you, you're no better than the hypocrite. You're outside of fellowship with God. And whatever your sin is, you stand condemned in that sin. But it doesn't have to be that way. Jesus died for you. If you believe that, you're well on your way to receiving the forgiveness of your sins. You've got to repent of those sins. You've got to confess your faith in Christ. You've got to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't act like, oh, I know the Lord, and I'll attend the church every once in a while, and I'll be a good person, and everything will be okay. No. Come to the Lord. And let Him forgive you with the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. Obey the gospel today. Come as we stand and sing this song.